It's been ages since I hopped on Reddit, but here I am to bring a story to you all that happened not too long ago. And while it happened to me, it didn't start with me, but my mother. Though somehow, I became the focus of it. A couple of weeks ago, my mum was coming back from the store around 10 p.m, got herself a pack of cigarettes, and was hanging out with a friend of hers as she did so. On their way back, they came across Jeremy. It was a guy they've both, and even I have seen a couple of times. Nothing major, just an acquaintance we barely spoke to. Though he was either high as hell this time around or drunk, or both, I don't know. I do know this wasn't how he usually acts. Jeremy was angry over something, and came up to them and started screaming about wanting to fuck them and pulled his penis out, in public. After both my mum and her friend tried to just walk away from the situation, he started attacking my mum. Both my mum and her friend started fighting back, and they managed to get him to stop, and made their way back to her house, where I'm currently at, unaware of what the hell is going on. However, note that I said stop, not leave. He lived in the same building as I do, and was following them from a distance away. So they both made their way upstairs, when my mum realised she had left her key inside. Nothing new. She's pretty forgetful, and I'm generally here to open the door when she does. Problem being, Jeremy made his way upstairs too, passed where his floor is, and to ours. And he tried to fight her again. I opened the door to my mum shouting my name, and being absolutely clueless as she entered and tried to close the door. But Jeremy pushed the door open before it could be shut, and made his way into our apartment. This is where I got involved, and grabbed a knife and threatened him to get out, which he did. I have no idea how he managed to get this impression, but he seemed to think I was trying to fight him, because after we made sure to slam the door, the moment he exited and locked it, he started screaming at the top of his lungs about how we were pussies and to call the police, claiming he knows the landlord and can get him to delete any footage caught from outside the building and the hallways inside the building. My mum, being a quick thinker, started recording him from the door as he banged and kicked the door, trying to open it. Eventually he left when he heard we were actually calling the cops. You'd think this would be over, right? No, it keeps going. After a couple of minutes, he returns to the door with a knife and starts stabbing our door while screaming and insulting us at the top of his lungs, saying that he'll kill the cops too. The police can clearly hear him from the phone. I think that's why they came this time around, since, as I mentioned in my last Reddit post, these guys are absolutely useless. The doors in the building are strong stuff. Metal, I think. I don't know. But while he made some light holes and scratches, he couldn't do much to it. So he shouts he'll be downstairs waiting for the cops, which we of course inform the cops currently on the phone of. And like perfect timing, while he makes his exit, they make their entrance, both using two different elevators. There are two. Four officers knock on our door, and we open up and told them what was going on and what happened from start to finish. While my mum showed the cops the footage she recorded, I was taking pictures of the damages to the door. The cops, clearly not wanting to be here, begrudgingly said to come downstairs with them. So me and my mum did, to which we heard screaming from the first floor. We were on the fifth floor and heard him perfectly, though his screaming stopped real quick when four cops showed up. Instantly went, "Oh shit," and playing nice with the cops. The cops weren't having any of it and arrested Jeremy there and then. His friends were there, asking what did he do, screaming and shouting at the cops, before eventually running off. Jeremy was taken away. I sent the damages of the door to the lawyers, and don't know what happened about that. Silence. So you'd think that's where this story ends, right? No. Jeremy got off of a restraining order. Though, since he lived in the same building as us, we couldn't stop him from simply being in the building. He was only not allowed to talk to us or cause any problems. This didn't last long. On my way to the store maybe 2 weeks later, he and his friends were all outside the building in a group, chatting and drinking. When I walked out, Jeremy instantly switched up the topic, saying, "You see that kid? I'm gonna fuck him up." He got the cops on me, fucked the restraining order. I wanted to get away from that as soon as possible, but I had left the building and would need to get close to the group I had just finished taking a couple of steps away from in order to get back inside. So I quickly made my way to the store. Since I'd be in public with people present, I ended up just getting everything I needed from the store while trying to call my mum to tell her what happened. Didn't answer. Great. And here's where I admit I was a little dumb. I should have instantly called the cops, but I didn't. I just didn't remember what Jeremy was wearing, and I'm honestly a wreck with anxiety. I wanted to first see if the group was still there before I attempted to make a phone call. They weren't. And I quickly made my way upstairs too and informed my mum, who calmed me down and got me to call the police. The exact same police last time showed up, and thank God for that, since they were all aware of Jeremy being a nutcase from last time. But this time, we had no proof other than what would just end up being a he said, she said scenario. So they had us sit in the hallway while they called their boss to make sure the arrest would be okay due to the previous history and restraining order. All the while, Jeremy was in the staircase, laughing and being extremely loud with his friends and sister, from what I learned. Eventually, the police got an okay from their boss, and we all made our way to the staircase. I tried to stay as out of sight as possible, as they once again arrested him. Jeremy claims to be unaware of what he's being arrested for, and his friends left once again. His sister, who was in her mid-20s from what I could guess, was screaming though, insulting them and saying he was being arrested for no reason. Jeremy was hauled away again, and I have no idea what happened. No calls from attorneys or the police, no nothing. Though I ended up seeing him within the week, straying from eye contact with me or my family. Usually walks away the moment he sees us. I wish more came of this, but I'm happy we're being left alone all the same. Though he is always pissed at seeing me. I just came across this sub, and I figured the story was perfect to share here. I shared it in Our Scary Stories 2 years ago, not realizing that sub was mainly for fictional spooks, but I promise you all this is 100% real, and still gives me nightmares 4 years later. When I was 18, I worked at my college's residence building at the front desk, and I think I almost got assaulted, or murdered, you be the judge. During the summer, the building operated as a hotel. So, 2.5 floors were hotel rooms, and half of the third floor were student rooms. The whole building was operated with a hotel swipe key system that was pretty outdated, and all the doors were powered by 4 AA batteries. If the batteries died, there was a decently lengthy process to replace them and reprogram the door. A dark-haired guy came to the front desk from inside the building while I was working an overnight shift at around 1 or 2 AM. And said he left his key card in his room. I made him a new one and made my first error of the night. Hotel guests could have as many room keys as remade as they wanted, hypothetically. Students, however, were supposed to be given a temporary key card and charged $2 to be returned when theirs is located. I gave him a new key for his room and asked if he wanted a student or hotel guest, and he replied, "Student." At this point, I should have checked our system to charge his account, but I was caught up in doing administrative duties and forgot. I used to trust people way too easily at this job, but quickly learned not to. Late that night, maybe around 3 or 4 AM, he came to the desk again and asked if he could get into his room. I asked if he just forgot his key again, and he said no, the door wasn't working. I asked if the light was coming on when he swiped his card, and he said no, so I figured the batteries were dead. I told him I'd have to change the batteries, and I went out to his room with him. He asked me for my name, and I told him. He didn't tell me his. I opened the room door manually with a master key, and told him I'd have to prop it open while I worked on the back panel to replace the batteries. He said, "No, it's okay, close it." And closed and deadbolted the door locked. Really weird, but I tried not to think about it. I had changed the batteries on plenty of doors by this point, and some students were iffy about having their doors propped open for their room to be on display for anyone walking by. he had a really thick accent, and I thought he might be an international student. We had a lot of students from other countries where English wasn't their first language. I gave him the benefit of the doubt and thought maybe it was just a language barrier issue. At this point though, it really felt like something was wrong, but I tried to ignore it so I didn't freak him out. While I was trying to focus on fixing the door as quickly as possible, he kept trying to entice me to go further into the room, saying his bed was broken and he needed me to take a look at it. There was something underneath it that needed to be fixed, etc. He held out a little gold house key and said, "I have a key, go get it," and threw it under the bed. He said there was a leak under the fridge. He just kept trying to get me to go down on the ground, throwing random problems at me. Obviously I told him no, I'd send maintenance up in the morning to take a look at whatever was broken. I had my back to him and he asked me if I would take my glasses off. I said no, I need them to see. His tone of voice changed, and in the most steady, chilling manner he said, "Ella, it's okay, you can take them off." And from behind me, he reached around and tried to take off my glasses. I swatted his hand away, trying to remain composed, and said, "No, thanks, I need to keep them on," even though he was creeping me the hell out. I didn't want to be rude to him, I didn't want to get in trouble if he complained about me, or risk upsetting him and having him yell at me. I got up to grab something from the door repair kit, and undid the door deadbolt and opened it up in the process. He jumped towards the door to close it again, and told me to keep it closed. I told him no, it had to be open to start reprogramming it from the front. While I held the door open my foot and grabbed something from the door repair kit, he started playing with the little wispy hairs at the top of my forehead and trying to touch my shoulder. I swerved him away and asked him not to touch me and focused on getting the hell out of there. He once again tried to get me to follow him to the bedroom, saying the bed was broken, and I went as far as the doorframe to see if I could spot any actual problems with his bed. This is when I realised he had nothing in his room. No dishes in the kitchen, no shower curtain in the bathroom, no sheets on the bed, nothing. This wasn't his room. My brain once again went back to the international student theory, thinking he'd just arrived today and hadn't got a chance to buy anything yet. But in the pit of my stomach, I knew something was wrong. I fiddled around the door for a few more seconds before announcing that it was fixed, and quickly gathered the door kit and left. Before I'd reached the elevator, he came back out without his shoes on to follow me. He tried to get back into his shoes and called out, "Ella, the door isn't fixed, you need to come back." I went back and opened the door manually, and told him if the door was broken, I'd have to send up maintenance to fix it in the morning. I knew he was going to follow me to the elevator again, so I closed the door behind me once he was inside and ran down the stairwell as fast as I could. When I got to the front desk, I checked the computer and saw the room he was in was supposed to be empty. It wasn't a student room or hotel room. I locked myself in a back office and called campus security. He came down a few minutes later and went behind the desk. I yelled at him to get on the other side and wait, now that I knew he wasn't a resident. He tore the corner off a slip of paper I'd been sitting on the desk and drew a flower on it, then put it on the top of my papers. When security arrived, he ran back up to the empty room and tried to convince him he lived there so he wouldn't have to leave. He kept showing them his key, which had decided to work on the door somehow again. They escorted him back downstairs and came to ask me if he really lived there. Obviously he didn't. That's why I called you guys crying and terrified. He kept interjecting to argue that he did live there, but couldn't even recall his room number when asked. Security asked him for his student card and he couldn't produce it, so they told him he'd have to leave if he couldn't prove that he lived there. While they were grabbing his information, I listened from the office and could immediately tell he was lying. The phone number he gave was just a bunch of numbers. The name he gave was just prefixed by, as if he was trying to think of a name. When they asked him for his address, he just said, "Across the street." One security guard asked me if he lived in the apartments across the street, and he said yes, but couldn't tell them what building number it was. He said his apartment number was 1200. But I moved into the building a few months later, and apartment 1200 doesn't exist. When security asked what his purpose was to be sneaking in a room, he'd just come up with ums and ahs, and saying he didn't know. They'd ask, "Were you trying to see a friend? Do you know anyone who lives here? Were you here to hurt someone?" And he kept fidgeting and saying, "I don't know, no reason, I was just here." At one point, he tried to tell them he was my friend, at which point I poked my head out of the office to say that I literally had never seen him before that night. He left. We didn't call the police because he didn't actually do anything, but it was still really unsettling. Later it dawned on me how he could have figured out that that room was vacant. One of the housekeepers had been using it as her personal break room. A few days later, a housekeeper came to the desk and told me they found a door dead butt open, the TV on, and a housekeeper inside watching TV. She must have forgotten to close the door when she left that night, and when the creep let himself into the building, he found it. I never saw him again, and to this day, I have no clue what he was doing there. I haven't worked there since last winter, and overnight shifts still have me the heebie-jeebies.